Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
No, not the Sky Bet app. That's a different thing. Sky Sports. What do you mean it's not on the Fire Stick? It has to be on the Fire Stick. The match is kicking off in 2 minutes. What's the password? Try Aspria. That's not right. For fuck's sake, James, why do we watch in the pub like everyone else? I hate you. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Friday the 5th of August. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Oh, wasn't that timing succulent?
The true meaning of football for everyone there.
Just fiddling with a fire stick 5 minutes before the blooming football starts on a Friday night.
Mine is like, why is the Sky Sports app so bad on the Mac? Even now. I'm a conspiracy theorist about that. Do you want to hear why?
Right.
I think because the subscription is cheaper just for a Mac or PC only version.
Yep.
They don't put any investment in it, baby.
Right, okay.
Mug you off.
Well, we haven't got a sponsor for today's show, so if they're
honest. In many ways, it's an anti-sponsor. Sky
exactly,
Sports is the
yeah.
anti-sponsor of this
exactly.
show. Well, we're BT Sport people here because of Jules, so.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Or Channel 4 sometimes. Isn't she doing something else this year as well, I believe?
Loads of stuff, mate.
Doing loads of stuff.
ITV, you're safe with any channel with Jules Breach,
yeah.
I think.
Yes, yeah. Say a pair of hands.
People will not do the research to look into what she's really like.
Safe pair of hands. England will lose, though.
Nice. She's not even here to defend herself.
I know, because she's doing telly,
it's
probably.
Much easier.
Yeah. So the Premier League kicks off this very evening. What are you most looking forward to about the opening day of the Premier League season, or the opening weekend, Lukey Mill?
So I predict there's going to be a very haunted look.
Mm.
Accompanied by a 1,000-yard stare on the face of one Marco Silva by about 3 o'clock on Saturday, because the Premier League is about to come at him like a 100-mile-an-hour hurricane of shit.
He's got history. And,
yeah,
bad
but it's,
history.
It's going to be like the final scene in Aliens, where they're just coming from everywhere. Salah's over there. Alexander Arnold's here. What am I going to do? If they get out of that tomorrow lunchtime, and I'll be at the game, if they get out of that tomorrow lunchtime, with anything less than a 2-0 defeat, I'm going to say, given the preseason they've had, given the situation they've got in the transfer market at the moment, I would make the argument that Marco Silva, if he walked in the studio now and sat in that spare chair, and I said to him, Marco, you can shake hands. Don't worry about what that other club want for a manager. You're up for it at the moment. Marco, you can shake hands on a 2-0 Liverpool defeat tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think he'd snap your hand off. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
Marco Silva's face specifically in the post-match interview in the sorting through the rubble of the Fulham-Liverpool game.
I take your point. Having said that, I think he knows what's coming. So if he's going to have any look on his face, is probably the look that Obi-Wan Kenobi has on his face when he's about to get swiped by Darth Vader.
You know, yeah, inevitability.
Of, yeah, an understanding.
Yeah, but you say that, but in Aliens, which is the analogy I used, we're talking about movies,
yes.
They know what's coming, but they still set up the sentry guns. They dished out the ammo, didn't they?
Yeah,
you've got to give it your best shot.
Look busy.
And Marco Silva, if you're going to spend the final minutes of the game in an air vent with a grenade that you're going to commit suicide with, fair enough, but you know what's coming.
Yeah, also he's Jurgen Klopp's not going to be treading on Marco Silva's coat at full time because he's not going to have a coat because it's August.
Exactly. And we should say, contractually obliged to say at the end of any chat about Fulham, what a beautiful place to go and watch football.
What a beautiful place. Have you finished their little standoff yet?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a pull out.
I'm not sure. I'll tell you tomorrow.
If the pool's not out, fuck them.
No.
Yeah. I've not had any literature about whether I can go to the pool or not, so I presume not.
Little doggy paddling pool. Yeah. Lovely old job. Andy Brassel.
Well, I'm sorry to be so vanilla, PT.
Okay.
But I'm quite looking forward to Arsenal losing at Crystal Palace tonight. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's at the end of All or Nothing week.
Launch week.
It's not just me who's hoping for this. It's all non-Arsenal fans hoping for this. Not because I have anything against Arsenal, but simply because it will be funny. Because of the chronology, it will be funnier than them losing at Brentford last year.
Mm. And Arsenal fans know it as well. Like a good friend of mine is an Arsenal fan. When the fixture list came out, and they were playing Crystal Palace. Oh, when it was announced that Arsenal were going to go to Crystal Palace on the opening day of the season, much like they went to Brentford on the opening day of the season last season and lost, he just messaged me saying, it's a fucking fix, absolute corruption. It's like, I was like, you've got to play the game. You've got to play the game at some point.
What would they have wanted, though? Would they have wanted Liverpool? Would they have wanted a big...
Oh, we want someone that we want to play with Fulham at home. Well, you will play them, just not on the opening day.
Exactly.
Everyone plays everyone. That's how it works. And they do it twice.
Indeed. Well, I am very much looking forward to Eddie Howe resigning because he's revealed that he is educating himself over the situation in Saudi Arabia.
What key stage? Is he just doing like the phonics part of it?
Yeah.
Like, key stage one, maybe he's just got a little picture book.
Well, he just said he said he's better served concentrating on the football, but he's tried to educate himself. Well, why are you even saying that?
I've just put Newcastle as sixth in my Premier League table prediction.
Oh, that's
this
big!
Season.
I'm signing a striker yet.
Why are you trying to undermine it?
Calm it down.
Why are you trying to undermine it?
Well, that's Lukey's prediction for the rest of the 2022.
It's not my single
23
prediction.
Season. Head on over to our social media to check in with our Rambo predictions and get involved with your own for the new season before it kicks off tonight. As you, as some of you might know, one of the categories is always notable mad shit, and a few of our listeners have already come in with some good suggestions. They don't get a closed ballot on this. They have to put their predictions out in the wild. Steve Warner's come in with Lampard sacked by two different Premier League clubs and gets a third job before May. I could see that happening. Is there not some restrictions? You can't manage three clubs, you know, like the limitations that players have?
Don't think there is.
No,
that happens in Spain. If you're with a club for one season and you lose your job or leave it or whatever, you can't manage another club until the next season.
Oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
And
so I'm glad it's like it is in the Premier League.
Also a provocateur-y kind of situation.
I'll let you know. I mean, I can give you a comment on what I feel about Steve's prediction by telling you that my backup thing I was looking forward to for this weekend that I almost said today on the show was that Frank Lampard sacked at tea time tomorrow. So it could happen. Dan Carney's also been in touch saying he's looking forward to some notable mad shit in the shape of Steve Bruce's novels getting optioned by Netflix.
They've done worse.
They've definitely done worse.
They've done worse.
What are they called? Sweeper, defender and striker?
Yes, all of them.
There's no midfielder.
No keeper.
No keeper either.
Just not normal forward planning from Brucey, isn't it?
Well, you're a long time retired, so maybe you're...
I can't wait for that Alan Saint Maximin volume.
Yes.
It's going to be special.
Give it Alan.
Michael's got one here. Charlie Kane somehow injures his brother in a freak accident.
Yes, with a motorbike, with a Steve McQueen motorbike.
Do you reckon there's a kind of caveat in their kind of professional arrangement where Charlie Kane, because he's so hapless, actually can't go near Harry Kane?
Right,
they have to do every meeting like Stringer Bell and Avon Barksdale on the wire when Avon's in prison between that Perspect glass on the phone. I really think we should hold out for more money, Harry. Yeah. Stay away from me, Charlie. My ankles are fucked.
Well, there's a man by the name of Roy Brook who's very upset with you predicting, well, your predicted table. Apparently you put Southampton very, very low down.
Yeah, relegated.
Relegated.
I feel like it's an absolute dereliction of duty to not do that when I'm given the option to do so.
Roy says, childish and pathetic, that as a so-called journalist, he still allows his South Coast bias to impact his opinion.
Yeah.
It's quite an underwhelming bias, isn't it?
Yeah.
A South Coast bias.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Three clubs. No doubt he still believes, laughingly, that his beloved skates will be promoted.
I mean, for what it's worth, I've never so-called you a journalist.
No, thank you very much. And nor should you. And if he's ever heard any of my output, he'll know that I've never once predicted Ports will do anything good.
Yes.
Because I know exactly what they're like. And I would end by saying that to Roy that...
We do not have sex with skates, so...
No, I don't, actually.
Actually, so...
Well, I haven't actually lived there for like 20 years. So. But I would add that Roy should console himself with the fact that their best ever player is a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy lunatic who can't go to the supermarket without thinking the chicken breasts are going to come alive and fucking chase him. And their current best player is from a family of season ticket holders at Portsmouth who still all go.
Right, so, okay. Yeah.
Their best player at the moment is a big Pompey fan.
Mm.
Their best player of all time is a lunatic. Focus on yourself and leave me out of it.
Clip that.
Yeah.
We'll have that. Lovely. Yeah. I mean, you've got the man who owns the bookshop.
Yeah.
Haven't you? No, on your side.
I don't think he's working anymore. He does GB News now.
Does he?
He did do GB News, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What, just little man
only
on the street?
Guest, only as a guest, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. Presenter, surely. Yeah. Oh, it's only a matter of time, right?
Yeah, I think
Why have we never got the call? Anyway, tonight in the Premier League, kicking off with Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. Andy Brassel is pretty convinced that it's going to be a home win. Glad all over and all of that being played in the dressing room beforehand. Gabby Jesus, he's knocking them in for fun, though.
Yeah, he's the most... It's a great fact about Jesus. I was reading yesterday, he's the most selected fantasy Premier League player of all time.
Is that right?
Whoa. Yeah. What, yeah. This what, over a...
for this weekend.
For this weekend, I see, right.
I think it's something like almost 80% of teams have picked him. Ooh. And that's unprecedented.
Why haven't got him?
Well,
is it just because he's just in incredible form and he's...
I don't know, really. I guess he's probably a bit of a bargain, maybe. People think he's going to hit the ground running. I mean, I think he's a... I mean, look, he's a good player for Arsenal. Mm. I don't know what you feel about it, Andy, but he seems like he's a really good signing for them.
Yeah, he is, absolutely. And I think...
Not tainted by Arteta's all or nothing antics yet, either.
You've both watched a fair whack, or the three episodes that were available.
Andy's watched more than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big sort of scenes are... getting the photographer to do the pre
Stuart
talk.
McFarlane.
Stuart McFarlane.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
I did too, actually.
The thing is, the way it's edited, the Aubameyang thing seems to fall apart so quickly.
Yeah,
I realise television moves faster than in reality. You know, like in the Apple adverts, where it goes faster than actual sequence.
Yeah.
But it's funny how you get the bit where the photographer sort of gives them this wonderful speech going, I fucking love this club and all the rest of it. And then they go and beat Spurs and they come back. Aubameyang, who scores in that game, gives him the shirt, and then it's next time on All or Nothing. And it's like, yeah, he's no longer our captain.
He's putting stuff into a box.
Carly and Jason turn up. Yeah. You're just trying to distract us, aren't you?
Yeah, I thought that was odd. I found the Stuart McFarlane thing really interesting. I thought it was actually... And you can never really fully trust the edit, I don't think.
Mm.
But it did seem to really hit home and it did seem to really cut through, because you were asking Pete earlier whether you thought players actually gave a shit about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like they do. I feel like now we're in a... We had that apex of the players being so distant and so removed from the game and from fans. And I would say around the kind of Wags era of England kind of thing.
Mm.
And I think we've come full circle again now. I think they do care about the fans. And I think it probably was quite impactful. Now, it's easy to... backfield the narrative when they go and win the game against the rival or whatever. But I thought that was probably the one thing I've seen so far from Arteta where I was like, okay, you're not just a Spanish Brendan Rodgers, where you've just got these kind of quite... I mean, because he comes across as quite odd, I think.
Brendan Rodgers thinks of himself as a Spanish Brendan Rodgers.
It's true, actually, yeah. Sorry, Mikel, that's already taken. He's like, I was born in Spain, doesn't matter. So I'm being frivolous, but he does kind of remind me a bit of Brendan Rodgers. He kind of reminds me, and I feel like to be a successful manager, you might have to just be a little bit obsessive and a little bit odd and clever enough to impress football players that you know what you're doing, but not so clever that you alienate them.
Yeah.
And I think...
You've got to have a bit of cringe in your cravat.
I think so, yeah. He wasn't wearing a cravat, was he, at one point?
Well,
I think putting the speakers on the training ground playing You'll Never Walk Alone to the team is a bit kind of, what are you doing? Where's that come from? I thought that was odd.
Well, I don't understand why. Well, maybe it's because of the series that you have to do it for show. I mean, Terim did it with Galatasaray,
yeah.
But he put them in a film room with the speakers on full belt. and yeah. that are watching the game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's particularly helpful when you're training. But then again, it's the chronology. It's just because you know they're going to lose.
Maybe, yeah.
And, you know, we can't judge every action by what happens afterwards. You know, it's like you were talking about putting the photographer forward and...
So I said to the judge.
And then
if I were donuts in an orphanage, I'll do it.
He's a young, still inexperienced coach, manager, trying loads of stuff. And some of it will work and some of it won't work at all.
On the game tonight, I wonder whether I'm overthinking this, and it'd be interesting to know your guys' take about the idea that I can't get away from, that it's not just they're almost aping a similar fixture they had last year where they go, I know Crystal Palace aren't a promoted team, but they're kind of an upwardly mobile team.
And a team that Arsenal feel they shouldn't lose to.
Quite, exactly that. But who's in the other dugout? That to me is interesting because I think I know that they're back Arteta. I actually think Arteta's overall, despite what has been said here, I actually think Arteta's probably going to go and do quite a good job this season. I've got Arsenal's fifth in my predictions to back up that, so I've put it on paper. But having said that, the better that Patrick Vieira does, given the fact that he's one of the greatest players in Arsenal's history and he's already based in London and he's done a brilliant job at this club who aren't anywhere near as fashionable or as fancied, that's got to weigh heavy on Arteta.
If you're suggesting, for people who don't live in London, that Croydon to St Albans is a passable commute, you are misleading people.
I don't think I think you're misleading people by suggesting for even one second that Patrick Vieira lives in Croydon. That is an absolute disgrace, Brassel.
We're hopping on the tram every morning.
Yeah, if anything,
Whiteleaf, Caterham.
He's in Dulwich Village. He's in Dulwich Village. Let me tell you that for a fact. He's not even going anywhere near West Norwood, let alone Upper Norwood, let alone Thornton Heath, let alone Croydon. Wash your mouth out, son.
But there'll be a lot of people putting in their predictions this season and this weekend that Palace will be the team that will be the dark horses. Are they a dark horse at this point though, Andy?
Until they've proved they've replaced Conor Gallagher, I don't think so, because he was just so massively influential for them last season. I don't know, I still feel a bit of Conor Gallagher sadness at the moment, because I feel like...
Is that like summertime sadness? Summertime sadness. Conor Gallagher sadness.
Give us some more.
Give me some more. Is that
that's past the rhymes.
You're meant to come in with the beats. It's a dance.
Speaking of summertime sadness, it doesn't get more happy than Pete's much vaunted and much promised and now delivered Scott Sellers themed Hawaiian shirt. Now that is summertime, baby.
I want Scott to know that I love that guy, or I loved him when he was at Newcastle.
Before he did those awful things.
Before he did those awful things.
What's the question again? Oh, Crystal Palace, Dark. Yeah, I mean, Gallagher is a real loss.
The reason I was saying I feel that sadness, I feel like he's full of hope that he's going to be important for Chelsea. And they're out spending money that's very much saying, you're not going to be that important for us this season, which is sad, because I want to see him play every week. I don't care if he plays for Palace, Chelsea or whoever, but I love watching him play.
It's a weird kind of tier system, isn't it? Kind of like when you're at Man City, you can be a squad player, and then you move to Chelsea and you become a bit more of a main man, which is happening now. And then from that team, you sort of drop down. You drop from Chelsea to becoming a bit of a squad, being the main man, or you can be the main man. But you can really get lost in the... Lost in the hustle and bustle of that Chelsea squad.
I think it's surprising how active they've been in the transfer market, in my view. And I kind of wonder what's going on with the decision makers there, with Todd Boehly and all those kind of guys, and those guys. It smacks a bit of the old Ed Woodward to me. I read this morning that Chelsea are sniffing around Aubameyang, and it's like, what's going on there? And I think you can't underestimate, speaking of Conor Gallagher's sadness, You can't underestimate how much of a blow to the confidence it'll be when he doesn't start at Goodison Park this weekend and the manager literally says it to him, we don't think you can do it against Frank Lampard's Everton. Because that will cut to the very core of a man.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned him and given both barrels a little earlier on. Look, Mr. Frank Lampard, we'll be back in the dugout for how long, we just don't know. Everton versus Chelsea kicking off at 5:30 on Saturday. Dele Alli, ever played up top, mate? Because we ain't got no strikers.
To be fair, they haven't got a lot of injury problems.
And
I do sometimes catch myself thinking, am I being too harsh on Frank? And it's normally because Marcus gets in my ear and says, you're betraying the fact that he's such a good player for England. And I say, Marcus, it's not relevant.
No.
What's relevant is he's doing a shit job. And I want to say that. But on the other hand, they've got a lot of players missing. I mean, there's talk. I mean, Opta is suggesting that the central midfield they're going to have to play is scratch. He's like, Doucouré, fair enough, but they're talking about playing Alex Iwobi in central midfield.
Right.
What about that lad that came on, the lorry driver?
Yeah, that was nice, though.
Yeah, it was
that
lovely.
That was nice.
It was lovely. But can he play tonight?
Good pen as well.
Tomorrow night.
Who are you? Harry Redknapp. Unbelievable.
Just give anyone a chance.
It's a tough assignment for them at the start of season playing Chelsea, I suppose. But like I say, I think Chelsea's a bit of an odd situation. Still an odd situation, maybe for different reasons. I'm looking forward to seeing Koulibaly play, who apparently has been given the nod from the... From the president elect.
Did you like the little call with him and John Terry?
That's what I'm talking about.
He called John Terry to ask permission to take the number 25 shirt, Chelsea.
26.
Sorry, 26 shirt. And I mean, like, he's a hell of a defender himself. Like, he's 31. He's earned everything he deserves in the game, and he's having to ring John Terry to ask if he can take a non-retired shirt, which I think is poor.
Which John is actually wearing now.
Yes, John Terry did not believe
that. You can have it, yeah. Come over. That's what he said. Come round now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, so he's
right. But I've NFT'd it.
He's phoned John Terry. And he's if you want the shirt itself, yeah. It's extra.
You can only buy it in crypto.
But John Terry apparently didn't believe it was him.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, yeah.
I also think there's a lot in the idea that, so Terry left Chelsea in 2017, right?
Mm.
And he hasn't played at Chelsea for 5 years now, or around that kind of time. And no one else has been given the 26 shirt. And you think, oh, that's quite nice. That's quite respectful.
Yeah.
Until you think, John Terry's absolutely spearheaded the reason for that. John Terry's actually made sure probably every single summer that no one's having it.
Well, do you reckon he's just finding the shirts and burning them?
No, I just think he calls them up and says to the kit man, you know, how you doing? Yeah, good. How's the family? Fine. Yeah. You're not bringing that 26 shirt out, are you? No, just checking. Because it'd be a terrible shame for something to happen to your job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of movements in the squad number game in Chelsea. They appear to be close to be hijacking Man City's attempts to sign Mark Cucurella from Brighton.
This is what I'm talking about.
They're
Pete.
Also trying to grab Frank De Jong for Manchester United, obviously going for that Barcelona player. It's a weird time for Chelsea. You're right.
What it looks like to me, Andy will have a bit more insight into this than I will, but it chimes into what I was saying earlier. It looks to me that he comes across as a bit, because isn't Todd Boehly doing this himself?
Yeah, which I think is a terrible idea.
Is that how you say it, Boehly?
Boehly, I think.
Boehly, yeah. Because, and I do as well, it smacks of Ed Wood, but it also smacks of the idea that you've come in and you've said, right, I don't know that much about football. I went a bit Gordon Ramsay, didn't I? Right. you don't know that much about football. I'm sure he's got advisors and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And he's thought, what is the Chelsea regime under Abramovich most known for? And obviously it's known for winning things, but it's also known for spending loads of money on loads of players all the time. Mm. And it just looks like he doesn't want to be criticised as being someone who's coming in and not continuing.
Not making an investment.
Yeah. So he's going, Koulibaly, Cucurella, De Jong, Aubameyang. It's like, hang on a fucking minute.
No, but some of those signings make sense. Like Koulibaly makes sense. Cucurella, yeah. I just don't understand.
Well, they need Koulibaly because of the centre-backs that have left.
Yeah.
Cucurella, they don't need at all.
No.
I don't think. So, I mean, and also, and the other thing about it, and I might not be across all the detail here, but it looks from the outside in to me like Cucurella. Well, you weren't talking about Cucurella until Man City wanted him. Yeah, no one was linking Chelsea with him. Mm. He wasn't. They weren't after him 6 months ago.
But is that not just how an opportunistic signing happens? Like you hear that someone's in talk, you're like, well, fuck, I want him.
Yeah,
like
and he's also, when you've got $4.5 billion in your bin, you probably just think, oh, fat, I want to do that.
Jump change, isn't it?
Someone else rich is doing that. I want to do it.
Yeah, on the Everton side of the ledger, there's still rumours that Ross Barkley might move to Everton.
Yeah, did you see how some fan group like responded to that?
Stood outside the manager's house with a big bed sheet?
Maybe. But I didn't, if they did, on the bedsheet said the quote I was going to quote back to you, right, which is, if we sign Ross Barkley, this will be the worst transfer window of all time.
Yeah. Would you not say that some of their other ones, where they bought a lot of players, were their worst?
I was going to say,
exactly.
I felt like saying to him, how long have you been supporting Everton, mate?
One season? Oh, yeah. Well, elsewhere, across Merseyside, Liverpool are heading to newly promoted Fulham. Luke Moore will be there. It's a tough start to Fulham.
I've already told you what I think about that.
They would not have wanted that. But do you not think the Fulham's transfer policy has been refreshingly sensible this time round?
Refreshingly Spartan.
Well, yeah.
But that's Andy, it. How much of this is Marco Silva liking to have a moan, which we know he does, and how much of this is substance? Because he's saying, I've got 16 players, I've not got any of the players I want. I read the other day they're in the market for 4 centre-backs, which is obviously bullshit. But like,
they need to be.
Yeah, they need to sign
players. They've got 2 first-team centre-backs before playing Liverpool.
Jesus Christ.
That's mad. I mean, the thing is, the final scene
in Aliens.
The quality of the players they've signed, Palinha, Bernd Leno, Manuel Solomon, great. And I understand what Pete was saying about that
idea that they had a scattergun approach the last but one time that they came up. By the way, they had to replace a ton of low knees that time.
Right.
So it's not the recruitment, it's the way that the recruitment happens.
Right.
And I think it's been like not fast enough. And I think Marco Silva's absolutely right. They've known they were coming up for ages. It was obvious halfway through last season that they were going to come up. And Forest have managed to sign, what, 15 players?
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm not saying that's necessarily what they need to do, but they knew where the areas of weakness are and they've just done nothing about it at all. Then you combine that to the feeling off the pitch, the fact that Fulham fans are absolutely up in arms about the cost of the tickets, particularly
for this game.
And, you know, there's not a club out there. You listen to Uli Hoeneß when he was at Bayern Munich. He's like, if we started charging people double for tickets, that would earn us what? Like pocket money, not as much as we would get for like
depends
a
draw
in the Champions
League. Depends how much of the money you're reporting to the exchequer, Uli. That's what I would say.
I love
the fact that he carries on talking about financial issues. it's like a fucking right wing politician in the UK carry on talking about Brexit. Have a bit of shame. Have a bit of shame.
Look, pool chemicals are expensive.
I also think the final minute is going to be 7-0. Salah's already got 4, and he comes in again on goal, and Tim Ream in his American accent just grabs him and goes, "Stay away from her, you bitch."
And there'll be leaves in the pool by November.
Yeah, there will.
But I mean, it's all hinging on how
Marcus
we...
is a pool boy in a little speedo.
Yes, please. That's what I'd like to see.
Marcus, in a little pair of
pool
speedos,
attendant.
Pool attendant with one of those nets.
Pool float.
Making flirtatious glances across to the fans.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
Are we talking about orange shorts, yellow vest?
I'm talking
he has
about,
got a bit of who's the head honcho Hasselhoff. Of Baywatch? Hasselhoff, yeah. I can imagine him shirtless,
sorry,
drunk,
Andy.
Eating a beef burger.
The head honcho of Baywatch.
The head honcho of Baywatch.
That's his official title.
Yeah, the head honcho, the big boss man.
Head honcho of Baywatch, David Hasselhoff. No, I'm talking about just a tiny little pair of speedos. That's how I always imagine Marcus.
It's for the best, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't know. He's very hairy. Just about he's wearing a hair shirt. Mitrovic, it really does hinge on how slow he is now. Doesn't it, really? Is he too slow for this league? He's clearly got everything in his locker, but he's just not quick enough for the Premier League.
Pete, are you simply paranoid that Newcastle are going to buy him on transfer deadline day?
Would that be a crowd pleaser, do you think? Will people kick off about
it? Crab pleaser?
Yeah.
I don't know what the crab's policies
are. What's the crab community? The general point.
No, I was giving it that. Yeah. I don't know, to be honest. Newcastle need a striker, and of course they're not going to sell him, for crying out loud, at this point in the season.
No, but I just wondered in this thought experiment that this whole show appears to be, how a Newcastle fan.
What if Mitra was 10 foot tall?
Yeah.
What if he was?
Like one of those blowy things on a petrol station forecourt.
Yes, please. Yeah. I love those.
A lot of handballs, though. Probably a lot of handballs because their hands are like, what? Not in natural positions, their hands are.
It's natural if you're getting inflated from below. Yeah, that's a natural position.
Well,
supposedly
I'm full of air.
But can you see him knocking more than 10, 12 goals in?
I'd love to get an Andy prediction on the amount of goals that Mitrovic scores.
Mm. I reckon he can get to 12. I don't reckon he can get any
in
higher.
The league?
Yeah.
I think that's rich.
I don't reckon he can get any higher.
I think they'll be relegated this season. I think 12 is rich. What's his record? 11 in the Premier League? I think it's 11.
He's better than ever before, and he's got
Andy Brassel predicts record season for Alexander Mitrovic.
Right, we'll be back after a short advertorial sojourn with Man United Brighton. We got a little bit of Newcastle Nottingham Forest, and we'll just generally be celebrating Antoine Sibierski's birthday.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bruce needs to go, he's fucking shit. Texas is terrible, he needs to go, he's fucking terrible.
What about Mike Ashley?
It's a fucking fat whale.
Paul Gascoigne there.
Sounds a bit like Gazza, doesn't it?
Voice of Newcastle United, Emil doing his thing. You heard it, if you've not heard...
That wasn't Emil's voice.
That was... Emil's gone massively off-piste. But check out your At The Match with Emil, back end of last season. That was a lot of fun. Was it the last game of the season or the one before that?
Newcastle Wolves on a Friday night.
Oh,
it was fun. It was
fun. Yeah, check that out if you can. But for now, Manchester United versus Brighton, Sunday, 2 p.m. Erik Ten Hag is still very upset with Cristiano Ronaldo for fucking off halfway through a friendly with Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah. That shows you the size of club Man United are. That's still on the news agenda now.
But it also shows...
Well, only because we spoke about it on Monday and now we're speaking about it now, but it is very much still on the...
I saw it on Sky Sports News this morning.
Yeah.
It also shows how far Cristiano done fallen because, of course, this is not even the best midnight flit during a game. Do you remember when Eden Hazard, playing for the national team, not playing a bloody friendly for his club, when they were playing for Belgium against Turkey, he was substituted... And him and his dad were at a burger van having a burger while the game was still going on.
Is the picture so typically Hazard?
That's great. That is great.
Yeah,
that's really good. And the quote from Ten Hag that I kind of stuck on was the fact that he then said there were a lot more that went home as well, and just implied that only Ronaldo got photographed because he's Ronaldo.
Yeah,
I thought to myself, what kind of operation are you running there? Because it was, I think, Laurie Whitwell from The Athletic?
Yes.
He was saying today that they didn't know they were going to do that. The club didn't have a response ready for the inquiries about it because they didn't know the players were going
to
do that.
You almost want to say they should know not to do that. I mean, bare minimum, just stay until the end. It's only 45 minutes for crying out loud.
I think there's definitely a certain amount of, and I think we fall into the trap, don't we, sometimes, of kind of writing off footballers as being these kind of, not so much now based on what I said earlier in the first half, but we do have fall into the trap sometimes, or the media does, of painting footballers as kind of these overgrown kind of babies who can't do anything for themselves. But you're absolutely right there, Pete. I think it's a really good point. Take some personal responsibility. What's it going to look like? You're playing for Manchester United. You know what the press has been like. Just take some responsibility. Stay. Just stay to the end of the game the same way that you should, I believe, particularly with home games. If you're injured or you're suspended, you should be there.
But the club's lack of response, as you say, is absolutely right, Luke, because I think it makes Ten Hag look terrible already. It puts him under enormous pressure. I don't think it really changes people's opinions of Ronaldo. It doesn't change people's opinions of the other ones because we don't even know who they were.
Yeah. But Diogo Dalo, he got caught on the long lens, didn't he? It was Dalo, one of them.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So, you know, if the club know about this, shut it down, or just come out and say, oh yeah, Ten Hag, even if it's not true, say Ten Hag said they could all leave.
Take control, exactly.
Yeah.
Take control. Being a PR, doing press officer work or whatever, is about boosting the good stories and limiting the bad ones.
Yeah.
Not just letting whatever happens happen.
So you need you could just obfuscate. You remember when the Prime Minister pretended that he painted red buses to mess with the SEO?
Out of wine boxes.
Yeah, wine boxes. Just do something. Release a bigger Cristiano Ronaldo story.
Put an inflatable Cristiano Ronaldo over the stadium.
An inflatable man waving his arm around. No, look, he's here, everyone.
Yeah, he's always
here. The Wizard of Oz.
Now he's always with us. He never leaves. And can I just make a very, very quick comment about the game itself, which I know isn't really the rigueur on this show. I like this opening fixture. I think the fixture computer's been very kind to us because obviously Brighton absolutely destroyed Man United in May, 4-0 at, I know that was at the Amex, but it was fantastic to watch, just because, not because I have a particular beef with Manchester United, but it's always interesting to watch like a total car crash of a game for a big club, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
And I think this is a big litmus test for Ten Hag's method. It's not been ideal preparation based on the stuff you guys have said. If they go down a goal early on Sunday in front of the TV cameras to Brighton, I think that is going to be very interesting indeed.
Yeah, it will be. And I think the difference with Brighton this season, we'll see how they sort out the Kukurea thing and all this. They've actually got a centre forward who can score goals in Denis Zündaf. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about him.
Well, he was great last season for Union Saint-Gilloise. Really, really natural finisher. Like everything they need. I think, to my mind, he's the best that Brighton could get without going out and spending 40 million on a striker, which they can't really do. I mean, it's logical, the situation that they've ended up in, because if you think of teams in the bottom half of the Premier League, and I know obviously they did a bit better last season, but traditionally they've been in the bottom half of the Premier League. What are the strikers that are the most important, most expensive, most coveted in the game? Centre forwards. So I mean, it's logical that they're able to build the rest of the team but not get that level of centre forward.
So you think he'll do well?
Yeah, I'm pretty hopeful for him.
Would you say you've learnt your lesson from Wout Weghorst or not?
What do you mean I've learned my lesson?
Because you said he would be good as well.
Wout Weghorst hasn't learned his lesson. I think he's gone to Turkey unvaccinated.
That's his fault. That's a distraction.
I was a big Cenk Tosun fan, so, you know. These things happen. Yeah,
I was as well, actually. I thought he had everything. I thought Andrew Vorin had all the tools as well.
Is he not on loan? Is he on loan?
Get him back
for crying out loud.
Yeah. I like the way you said Andrew Vorin had all the tools because he did look like a bricklayer.
Yeah, he did. You can imagine Frank on the phone to Cenk, can't you? Cenk, it's Frank. Frank Lampard of Everton. They're in the Premier League for now. Anyway, so look out for him. What, having a hat trick on his debut against United at Old Trafford?
I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
Are they going to Chelsea for 60 million next week?
When last time Brighton beat Man United 4-0, Cucurella scored one, so his head's turned, so they won't have those goals in the tank. So
the most
must
joyous...
take a long time to turn that head. Yeah. Very heavy.
The most joyous celebration of the season, probably. I think it was the first goal he scored for Brighton. Do you think, by the way, before we move on to the next game, do you think that genuinely having his hair that big can arguably impinge his performance? Because aggregating marginal gains and all that.
Yeah. Colicini?
Yeah.
I've seen him play with shorter hair. And he wasn't as good, so I think it's a little bit like... It's a bit,
psychological.
Yeah.
Like the old thing, if you look good, you feel good, and you play good.
Yeah.
So maybe he just loves his hair so much that he never wants to change it.
What is it like looking good?
You've got like? Scots, there's a one shot on that.
Yeah, exactly. True, yeah. You tell us.
That is true.
They ran out of Joe Ellington ones.
Exactly. Well, I sent them like a proper Panini sticker of Scott Sellers because I thought it might need some explanation of who it was.
Right.
But they very carefully cut out his head and removed the word Scott Sellers. I'm fuming.
In their business model, it's quite odd, but stay with me, listeners. They're taking high-res photos of people and their business model is to put them on the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
They don't care who it is, Pete.
No, that's
true. You could ask for Fred West and they'll do it.
Could I?
Yeah, probably.
Like Southend United.
I regret saying that now. I forgot who I was talking to momentarily.
Let's not turn Pete's camera on one day. Newcastle United versus Nottingham Forest, Saturday at 3 p.m. Forest's first game in the top flight for 23 years. I'm going to be there. About 6 months ago, I bought tickets to the Newcastle-Liverpool match. We got beaten 2-0, I think, at home.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was a
quite a close run thing for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good for a while. Yeah, but I said to my partner, let's go up and see my family, and we'll go and watch Newcastle. But I'll pay enough goddamn money to get us a good seat, fancy seat, and a meal at half time and all that stuff. Right?
Knows how to treat a lady.
Yeah. And so I've had this. So I couldn't go because it was the height of COVID, and we've seen people's parents and some. And so I had a ridiculous amount of money to spend on a pair of tickets for the match. It was a ridiculous amount of money, but this time round, because I got these tickets, apparently you've got to turn up. It's basically, the ticket says turn up 3 hours early to have a meal and a sit down and a drink and that. Who's turning up 3 hours before at St James's Park to have a meal?
I mean, they're not demanding.
Not
that,
a meal we were talking about earlier on.
Also, when
the
meal. there are like 500 pubs like on the doorstep of the stadium, which you're gonna have to walk past them all.
Yeah. Which Pete will visit every single one of them.
I'll grab me lamb and potatoes and walk up the strawberry.
How do you feel? As you said, you're going to the game. How do you feel? Do you feel confident going into the new season?
Up top's quite brittle. I think Botman's looked fantastic in pre-season, and the reinforcements they made in January were really, really good, and I don't see them being quite as high as everyone else. Did you have me have Newcastle top six?
Seven? I've got them a sixth.
Quite high, isn't it?
Do you know? Yeah, it's high, but do you know why? Because I think, and this is something one of the producers, Charlie, said, he's a Newcastle fan as well. He kind of convinced me that defensively they're back five. So if they play the back five of what? It'll be Pope, Target, Byrne, Shaw and Trippier.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good back five.
Botman, not Shaw.
Oh, Botman, sorry.
So Botman's that'd be even better.
Well, Shaw's still at the club though, right?
Yeah, he is.
Shaw does get injured quite a lot.
Okay.
He does like Shaw though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And Sven Botman's obviously...
Lascelles, out of there!
Sven Botman is preparing for this game by visiting Lidl apparently as well. Have anyone seen the meme?
that was so funny.
Bargains. I think that's... In the Premier League, I completely agree with the people that have said, if you can actually consistently defend, it counts for a lot in the Premier League.
I agree with that, because the one thing that Eddie Howe has fixed brilliantly that you never would have picked him to fix is the defence. And that will help them. That will really help them grind out results. And I think you look at where Leicester are, you look at the fact that West Ham have this European campaign ahead of them and they're going to go for it all over again. Goodness knows what you're going to get from United. I think Newcastle can look at sixth or seventh. I don't think they should necessarily aim for that. I think top 10 and a cup run is quite palatable. But if everything goes right and if they get at least another forward in, I don't think that's an unreasonable prediction.
I'm pleased that you said that, because that's given me a little more confidence.
Well, you've written it down now. You can't take it back.
There's nothing I can do about it.
It's on Instagram. It's real.
It's true. On the Nottingham Forest side of the fence, Peter... it's about them having a mix and a blend, isn't it? Because they've signed so many players. And the two players that I'd actually pick out, I mean, people are going to talk about Jesse Lingard, of course they are. The wages that have been reported for Lingard, for me, are absolute stripy jumper stuff. But good luck to him.
Isn't this basic lower than everyone's quoting, but he's just got a lot of targets to hit to get that amount?
Okay, in which case, fair enough. To me, the standout signings they've signed are the two lads from Huddersfield. I know I talk about Huddersfield a lot. I watched them a fair bit last season.
Right.
Lewis O'Brien and Harry Toffolo, who've been two of the standout players, particularly Lewis O'Brien, who I think is going to be a superstar at 23, and it's the right time for him to make a move up into the Premier League.
I'll tell you what, Awoniyi gets more goals up front for them than Mitrovic.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You're predicting so many goals in the Premier League this season without even realising it. Mitrovic is going to have a record season.
Yeah.
But that'll be a great game. I know people get bored of it, but I don't get bored of saying it. I'm looking forward to seeing Forest back in the Prem. It means an awful lot to their fans, who've been for a lot of shit through no fault of their own.
Yes.
Particularly our colleague Tom, who is so excited on WhatsApp about seeing Forest in the Premier League again. It means a lot to a lot of fans. I know it means a lot to a lot of clubs' fans to be in the Premier League, but I think Forest have kind of earned the right to be back there. And you know, it's an interesting test for them on the opening day.
Yeah. Well, from Willem to where we've got Jiz Honkamp on the way from.
His name is actually Jiz as well.
It's good stuff.
I thought it was a nickname.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a relatively big name for quite a while.
Not sure why he would have the nickname Jiz, by the way. I'm not sure I want to know.
But like, everyone's kind of known this name, but it's still. Like because he's signed for a Premier League side, but you do sort of go, it's good though, isn't it? It's still good.
Is it even his name until he arrives in the Premier League?
Exactly. No.
Yeah.
Could he jizz on a wet, windy, whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
On a wet, windy, inflatable effigy of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, here's hoping for a bit of a digital score bordery like the one we saw in Madagascar's friendly against the Seychelles this week, where basically they had this massive kind of like plasma screen, massive LED screen, and instead of like some fancy graphics, someone just went into Paintbrush and wrote the word Madagascar 1, Seychelles 0.
On a Word doc?
Yeah, on a Word doc. And to be fair,
job.
I don't think they chose the opening font choice. I think they made the choice.
What font would you have chosen?
Comic Sans, obviously. Or Wingdings. Some hieroglyphic.
That's such a Pete Donaldson answer.
As long as it's not Times New Roman, I think.
No, I'm a Georgia man. I'm a Georgia man. But it's interesting to see the story behind it when we see...
Does the paperclip guy turn up when they concede an equaliser?
It looks like you've conceded. Would you like some help with that? I'm looking forward to seeing what the real story is behind it in All or Nothing Madagascar next season.
Oh, we've just been sent the next three episodes.
Dropped in the inbox.
Dropped in the inbox,
show,
yeah. You overwatch that while I read this email. From Ollie. Hello, Ramblers. Long-time listener, first-time emailer and a big fan of Luke's Game, which is coming up soon. So much so that it has become a favourite from me and my Crystal Palace mates to play. That was until it all went horribly wrong. After we'd seen Palace lose the FA Cup semi-final last season, we decided to stop off at a pub on the way back. After several beers, I suggested we played a round of Luke's Game. At this point, it's worth introducing you to my friend Sam, respected doctor, Palace fan, trusted friend and all-round nice guy. However, Sam has an unhealthy obsession with playing Luke's Game. I think it lends itself to high achievers, this game. You've got to be competitive.
Yeah.
You've got to be psychotic. Yeah. You've got to remember stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are all fairly, I mean, apart from the psychotic bit that you just made up, these are all kind of fairly common traits.
Doctor Death,
Sam. You've got to be able to remember stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we've only just been introduced to Sam, but already I want to see him play Marcus.
How do we know he's a respected doctor, right, by the way?
Yeah,
so someone surveyed his patients.
Actually. Well, let's see how the email goes. However, Sam has an unhealthy obsession with the game. He just has to win, even when he doesn't know the player. This is not Luke's game. This is Sam's game.
You'll be hearing from my lawyers.
Anyway.
Blatant copyright infringement.
There I was sifting through players on Wikipedia and up comes a blast from a very niche past. Wayne Routledge. 9 clubs. Who's opening the bid? Without giving anyone a chance, Sam screams across the table, all 9! I could get all 9! He started well. Palace, Spurs, Fulham, Portsmouth, Villa, Swansea, Newcastle. But 7 appeared to be his limit. He went quiet. We lost interest, and I thought that was that. How wrong I was. About 20 minutes passed without a peep from Sam, then out of nowhere, he jumped up, grabbed me by the shirt and screamed out for the whole pub to hear, Cardiff and QPR! It's fucking Cardiff and QPR! Mid-panic, I checked my phone and confirmed he was correct. Sam screamed, I knew it! All fucking 9! He then pushed our mate Andy off his chair, beer flying everywhere, ran into the middle of the pub and leaped into a fully majestic swan dive before all 13 stone of him crashed down on the hard wooden floor. The pub went silent. The bouncer looked at him and then us. The bar staff looked at him and then us. As I desperately tried to explain to the bouncer that no, he wasn't actually looking for a fight, it became clear that Sam had smashed his chin on the floor. A midnight trip to hospital was the only option. We left the hospital at 3 a.m. As we left the pub before the hospital, Sam just kept saying, it's fine, I'm a doctor, it's fine, I'm a doctor, I know what I'm doing. No, Sam, please never ever swan dive in the middle of a pub again, exploding your chin, pouring blood everywhere and having to be rushed to hospital, all because of Luke's Game. Luke's Game is now banned at all Palace gatherings until further notice.
Is it against the spirit of this email to say you can't leave 20 minutes between answers?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, that's outrageous.
Fair, yeah,
it's outrageous form. I mean, the guy sounds a bit of a loose cannon, to be fair, but that is outrageous form. Yeah, I think it's basically the emailer's fault. Ollie, who emailed in, presumably he was the guy, as he said, he was doing Luke's game, or in this case, Sam's game, or it should be Ollie's game, really. He needs to cut off. He say, no, look, you've run out of time, pal. You've done 7. Yeah. Dry your eyes. We're moving on to the next one. The point
guard's
another player.
He's gone.
Yeah, exactly. You can't save
him.
He's
dead, doctor.
You can't save him.
Maybe we should say that when we do Luke's game on here now. Actual sequences are shortened. Like
yeah,
we were saying before.
Exactly. Yeah, they are. Well, they actually are in the edit. Because some people just will not fucking listen.
All right, speaking of which, watch your chins. It's Luke's game.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Back for a new season. A bit of Luke's game action.
Pete's game today.
Yeah, Pete's game. Yeah, I guess it is Pete's game. I forgot you're allowed to name it yourself after a while.
I'm not pressure about it, yeah.
Pete's game. New season, so no champion technically. However, Andy is the highest seed. Oh, jeez. Based on last year's performance. So, Lukey, you are going to go first.
Okay, I don't think it will help me much, but there we go.
A good game's a quick game and all of that. Lukey Moore, your first footballer. Is Aaron Ramsey 5 teams? So, Aaron Ramsey 5 teams.
So far in the belly, head in the freezer.
Far in the belly, head in the freezer.
Thanks.
Thank you. Sam's listening. Well, he's stitching up an aortic dissection.
There's 5, is there?
There is.
That's annoying.
Ooh, what are you going to give us? What are you going to give us, baby?
This is really fucking annoying because it's not going to help me at all, and I should know all 5.
Okay.
But I'm going to go 4. Andy?
I think Andy could probably do five. What do you reckon?
I'm going to make you name your... I'm going to go five.
You're going to go five?
Oh,
yes!
Russell.
Yes, please. For fuck's sake. Absolutely reborned you. Absolutely pull back the field. Yes. Andy, let's have them.
Cardiff City. Arsenal. Nottingham Forest.
Come on.
Forgot about Forest.
Rangers. Juventus.
Yeah. Forgot about Forest. How can I forget about Forest?
Well done. Point to
well
Andy.
Played,
fantastic
mate.
Stuff.
That's the standard. Right. That's the standard when you're playing against Brussels.
Yeah.
If I do four there, that's probably getting me the point against 70% of the players.
Yeah.
I won't add that even if we were to do Aaron Ramsey again next year, he probably won't have played for Nice. So, you should give the same answer.
As soon as Andy had the five, I was like, I'm looking down at the buttons. I was like, I don't even need the wrong button.
Nah,
do I just have my finger on the correct. Right. Andy Brassel. Bit trickier. Adama Traore. Please.
Adama Traore. Okay.
Ooh, how many baby, I love your way. Four.
Only four. Okay.
Only four.
Oh, yeah, I got all four of those.
Oh, for fuck. Ah, what's the point of me even being here? What is the point of me being here?
Barcelona. Wolverhampton Wanderers. Middlesbrough. Aston Villa.
Jesus, too good.
Good stuff.
It's
just beautiful. It's like watching a really nice car pull off a lot.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
Beautiful.
So now I'm 2-0 down.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to like this.
Oh, they're probably the two easiest ones.
Looky where. Jason Roberts, eight teams.
Oh, my God.
It's trickier, but it might be trickier for Andy as well.
He falls on into the less, not very exclusive list of players I've seen score in the flesh against Portsmouth.
I think I got a double.
I don't know if this is in Andy's wheelhouse. He's not he's not really a kind of football league type guy.
Yeah.
Despite supporting a football league team. Isn't that an irony?
Yeah. Well, if I support Wimbledon, I probably wouldn't have that much interest.
One last week for the first time in, what, 8 months?
Yeah, literally 8 months.
How's my accountant son doing?
He's the keeper, isn't he?
No, he's striker.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. How many clubs? Getting distracted.
What, my accountant's son?
I know.
Jason Roberts, eight.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to go with three.
Andy, you can do better than that, can't you?
No, I don't think I can.
Oh!
No, give me three.
Could you, because I was going to bid two, would you have been able to do three?
I've got three, but I'm not 100% sure on them.
Yeah, okay. So
sexy.
Reading.
Reading?
I'm pretty sure he's played for West Brom.
West Brom, 89 appearances.
And this last one's just a total guess. I'm going to go with Jason Roberts has played for Cardiff City.
Andy Brassel wins.
Shit.
Saw that one coming.
Tell me the clubs.
Oh, you're going to love these.
Do you have any different ones, Brassel?
I had all different ones, but I've no idea if they're right.
Okay.
So I had Wigan.
Oh, he has played for Wigan, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, played for Wigan. 93 appearances between 2004 and 2006. I'll jump in now, though. He played for fucking Portsmouth, Luke.
Oh, of course he did.
Fucking hell.
Da, 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 da. The only thing I remember is him scoring against Portsmouth for Reading at the fucking Medeiskin.
Was it
really
a known goal?
Yeah.
Well, he kicked off his career at Wanderers at North Games there. Torquay United, Bristol City, Bristol Rovers, West Brom, Portsmouth, Wigan, Blackburn Rovers and Reading. But sometimes clubs will go through those years where you're just like, he might have done, he might not have done.
I wonder why you look so pleased with yourself.
I know it's a bloody hard one because he's played for a load of clubs that you can half remember and none of them are Sunderland.
That's true, yeah. The Sunderland.
Is that the hardest ever player that's been done on Luke's game? I think you could argue it is.
I don't think it is. I think there's one coming up if you want to restore a little bit of pride.
Can I just say, Jason Roberts, it was the season that Portsmouth got promoted and I think he wasn't there for long.
Right, okay.
Maybe on loan even.
He got, was he on loan? He was on loan, yes. He scored once.
How many games did he play?
10.
Fucking exactly.
Exactly.
Mate, it's been 20 years ago.
Good stuff. Right, to restore some pride and honour, Andy Brassel, Danny Drinkwater, 10 teams.
10?
10.
Water.
Not bad,
bloody
eh?
Right.
Busy boy.
Okay.
Mainly under 10 appearances for a lot of them. But...
Yeah. Jesus. 10? I never would have thought he'd play for 10.
Oh, I might need a little bit of help production, one of them. Oh.
Right, I'm going to have some weird ones and have missed some obvious ones. Okay. As is my way, I'm going to go for five.
Ooh. Five. Can you beat that?
I can't, but I'm going to go six because I want to have a say in this.
All right, then. Go on, Lukey, man.
No way. You want seven? Do you want seven?
Nah.
All right.
Very brave of you, Luke.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nothing to lose. Chelsea. Leicester. Aston Villa. Peterborough. Ah, I thought you played at Peterborough.
No, he bloody didn't.
And then I was going to guess a Turkish team like Besiktas or something.
Kazim Pasha.
That's it, Kazim Pasha. Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Man United, Huddersfield Town, Cardiff City, Watford, Barnsley, Leicester City, Chelsea, Burnley, Aston Villa. That one what Andy just said. And Reading, 32 appearances and one goal.
That's 4-0. At least I get to go first 4-0, in the final one.
And you get yeah, careful what you wish on, mate. Oliver Norwood, it.
Jesus, Oliver Norwood. Okay. He's played 8 clubs for Oliver Norwood.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
This is producer Rory putting fucking Oliver Norwood in this game.
Yep.
I'll have a word with him later. That's outrageous.
No, you don't get to affect the Pete's game. It's Pete's game.
Oh, God.
Oh,
okay.
God. Well,
Oliver Norwood has played for 8 clubs, and I can name, I think, maybe 3.
You did 4, Andy?
Yeah, I can't better that.
No. Okay.
Good stuff. Let's have you 3.
As is becoming a theme on this show today, he's played for Reading.
He has played for Reading.
And I think he's played for Swansea. Oh, it's a disastrous entrance.
Oh, dear. I mean, Luke, that's first proper one of the season and you're stinking up the place.
Yeah.
He has played for Man United, Carlisle, Scunthorpe, Coventry City, Huddersfield Town, Reading, Brighton, Fulham, Sheffield United on loan, and then he's just continued his time at Sheffield United.
Oh, I was thinking of Brighton.
So there,
5-0.
Unlucky,
inauspicious start.
We had a lot of fun, though, didn't we? We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think
no one's chin was damaged.
No, exactly.
No, I haven't left the studio yet. I might fall over on the way out.
If you've got any ideas for like games, or you just want to chuck us an email, just a reminder though, I didn't mention this earlier on shortfootballramble.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @footballramble. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. I've been Pete Donaldson. He's been Luke Moore.
4. Oh, sorry. See you later.
See you later, Andy.
Thank you.
Ta-ta.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.